Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody. Can you hear me? Amen. You look beautiful out there. I was telling your pastor, it's like going to Manners, the old Manners restaurants or the drive-ins when you see everybody come there. And it's different, but it's okay. It shows your dedication to come out in the rain, to sit in a car, and to still worship and serve the Lord. How many of you love Jesus? Beautiful. And He's smiling down from heaven right now from everybody that's here. When I was a young minister, I was looking for a ministry outside the church, and I was praying, God, give me something. And I used to work as a law enforcement officer on a boat for the Department of Natural Resources up in Ohio. And while I was there, this fella comes speeding by in a pontoon boat. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever done something like that, right? He was speeding, and here I am. My job is to stop him and write him a ticket. So I stopped him. And as soon as I approached him, there was a big old Bible, and it was as big as this pulpit, sitting right on the table they have there. And there was five men total. And I says, I'm trying to do my stop, but I couldn't get my eyes off this big old Bible sitting there. So finally, I just said, "Are you all Christians?" And I had been a Christian, obviously, at that time, and young minister. And they said, "Yes, we are, sir. We're from the Barberton Rescue Mission, and we're just out here. These are clients, and we're just enjoying God's beauty, and we are so sorry if we did anything wrong." Now, how could I write him a ticket after he said that? So I put my ticket book aside, and we had church. I took my break, and we had church. I know I've told you this story before, but it was a beautiful thing. And the more I talked, the more I wanted to be involved with that whole situation. God was pulling me that way, and He gave me the executive director's phone number, and I called him and we set up an appointment. I came there and he opened up an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these men at this mission. And it's a beautiful outreach because people are coming and going every month. So you get a fresh crowd all the time. And since I was here last, we had 34 souls that had gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Let's praise the Lord. Let me hear them horn. Glory. That's a beautiful thing, man. And the angels are rejoicing in heaven, and I bet you they sound even louder than what we do here today. And I always thank God for that opportunity. And since we've been doing this, this is a conservative estimate, we're over 1,000 souls that have given their heart to the Lord at that outreach. All because a person said, "Lord, I want to do something." How many of you know the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you"? If you want to do things for God, you ask Him, you seek Him, and He will never turn you away. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So I thank God for that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. This message today the Lord gave me, and I want to share it with you because I think it's pertinent for the times that we have. The sign even on the front goes right along with it. It says, "Your job is to not be anxious," I think. How many of you believe that? And I remember when this COVID started, I was blessed, my wife and I, to be able to go on vacation to the Florida Keys. And while we were down there, it was the end of January, early February, right when it was happening, and all the toilet paper was gone, all the hand sanitizers. How many can relate to that? Amen. I mean, we couldn't find any. And we prayed, "Lord, I don't want to start washing claws and stuff. Help us out." And it turned out my landlord has a cleaning business, and he said, "Oh, you need toilet paper?" He come over with a truck and gave me a box this big that would have given enough for all of us here. So God provided that need. But while we were down there, it was fearful because, we saw the news every night. We saw the deaths. We saw the nursing home deaths. We saw all the chaos with the economy. We saw all the people losing the jobs, and they started putting up blockades down there. Nobody could even come to the Keys unless you had a formal document or proof that you lived there. And some people were saying we might even be quarantined there. Of course, we were kidding around saying that'd be a pretty nice place to be quarantined, the Florida Keys, if you had to be, right? But we weren't quarantined, but it was fearful and it was anxious. And we were like, "Well, what's going to happen? And on our way back, are we even going to be able to go through the states to get home?" You know, all these different things that you all could relate to. And then, of course, we know later on this Floyd situation where the cop stepped on his neck and killed him. The rioting that took place, just the chaos, the looting, the burning, the deaths. I mean, on and on I could go. And, you know, even the mayor in one of the major cities telling the police to abandon, you know, and as a former law enforcement officer, I cringed when I saw this, that she says, just leave your precinct and let them take over six city blocks. It was chaotic. It was just riotous. And it was not something that we all want to think about. It was anxious. So in the midst of all of that, I'm just trying to tell you how God gave me this message. He said to me what I'm going to give you today. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Psalm 46, verse 10. And this is it, one verse, but it is so powerful. And I thank God for this. So I want you to open up your hearts, and I want you to try not to think about what you're going to do after the service, and just give me a few minutes to minister to you today. Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of this scripture. We thank you that you are our God and that we can trust in you fully. And we ask you right now to minister, help me to deliver your word with power and authority, and may it fall on good ground in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Now that word still in the Greek, I looked it up. It means this. It means cease striving. Let go. Quit holding on to things that are keep you from knowing and exalting God. And you know, the fact of the matter is, even before COVID hit, I would say that, and if you agree, beep your horn, that our lives are too busy. We're too crazy, too hectic. How many of you remember the good old days when we could sit down with a cup of tea on the porch and call people and visit them, and everybody wasn't so anxious and worried and hectic, right? We miss those days. And God was showing me that I was being that way. I was being fearful. I was being anxious. And he tells me, he says, son, I want you to be still because your life is anxious. You're worried about this. In other words, God was saying, "You, I got this. You need to trust me." How many of you have learned to trust the Lord? Amen. Me too. But it takes some times that he's got to slap me upside the head with a 2x4 because I forget these things. Oftentimes we get even too busy for our family and our friends and all these different things. And these things should not be, church. We have this wrong idea that we have to be busy all the time. We got to be active. We have to be productive. Do we have any type A personalities in the cars today? Any spouses ribbing their partners saying, yep, that's you, right? We need type A's in this world. We do. But sometimes type A's don't know how to do what God is telling us to do here. Be still. Chill out. Slow down. I've got this thing. I really do. How many of you know that busyness, this hecticness, this fast pace, this worry, it's all confusion. It really is. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. When you have confusion in your life, you may have learned this. If you've got confusion in your life, that's not from God. It really isn't. God is not the author of that. So if he's not the author of it, who is? I think we all know that. You know the story of Jesus when he went to the storm, right? He told his disciples, he said, let us go to the other side. And halfway there, he's sleeping while a storm's occurring. Folks, did you know that you can sleep in the midst of adversity? You can have peace in the midst of adversity. Why? Because we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ, Philippians tells us. And here we see Jesus, when they woke him up, they said, don't you care? He went right out there and said, peace, be still. And it was calm and it was peace. And he can do that in your life and he can do it in mine. By the way, when Jesus said, let us go to the other side, that's why he was sleeping. You know, Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. And he said, we're going to the other side. I'm going to tell you what, if you'd have filled that boat with concrete, he would have went to the other side. Why? Because the Word of God said, we're going to the other side. And here he tells us all these promises, all these things in the Scriptures. If you will believe it, it'll happen for you. It really will. He's looking for faith. He says, without faith, you can't even please God Almighty. There's a story that's told of a young little boy years ago that worked in a carpentry shop. And there he was. And just doing the cleanup and doing handiwork around there. And the boss of the whole place lost his favorite gold watch. It was a memento given from generation to generation, and he lost it. So he shut the shop down and said, everybody, we got to find the watch. So everybody's looking for the watch. And they spent hours all morning, tore the place to pieces, couldn't find that watch. Finally, he says, let's go to lunch and we'll look later. And of course, when they left, the little boy stayed because that was his job. And when they come back from lunch, that little boy was smiling from ear to ear holding that watch. And the owner said, well, how'd you find that? We tore this place apart. And he said, well, when you all left, it got real quiet here. I mean, it got still here. And I just laid down in the sawdust and got real still. And he said, and then I heard a tick, tick, tick. And he dug down in the sawdust and grabbed that watch out of there. And you see where I'm trying to go with this is that if you will still your hearts before God and you will listen, you will hear the Spirit of God. You will hear Him speak to you. How many of you can relate to that? If you'll still. But how are you going to hear God if you're busy, if you're worried, if you're watching the news all the time and you're filling yourself with garbage and all these different things? And you know, you ever heard people say, I'd love to get with you, but I'm too busy. I know, or I just don't have time to study the Word, or I don't have time. Yes, you do. It's called prioritization. Amen. How many of you know that our priorities are wrong sometimes? It's true. Our priorities are often wrong. They're completely wrong. We got to put God first. In fact, the Bible says that He wants to have the preeminence in our life. That means He wants to be number one in our lives. That means even over that spouse that you're sitting next to, even over your children, even over that great job that you have, all the things you could list out, He wants to be number one over that. And if your order of priorities is different than that, then this message is definitely for you. How many of you remember the story of Elijah when he was, you know, doing that great deed where he defeated the prophets of Baal? And he was up on the mountaintop, buddy. He did 400 prophets of Baal. God showed Himself mighty through Elijah. But yet we know that, how many of you know when you're on top, watch out, you better find a place to land? How many has figured that one out yet? It's true. It just seems to work that way. When you're up here and everything's going, you're shooting on all cylinders and you're hop, skipping and jumping, you got no worries, watch out. And that's what happened to Elijah. Jezebel wanted him dead, and he started to run in fear for his life. And he wound up in some cabin, or excuse me, in a cave out in the wilderness. And here the Lord showed him a great wind and earthquake and fire. But the Bible says that God was not in those things. And then it says a still, small voice. And he said, that is, see, what he learned was it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But he had to still himself. He had to remain quiet. He had to not be anxious about Jezebel looking for his life. And see, that's a beautiful lesson for all of us today if we'll receive it. All you mothers, how many of you remember when you had that child, that first child especially, and they were fussing? Now, the only thing I know about fussing babies is they either are hungry, they need a diaper change, or they need burp. That's about all I know, ladies. That's it. I don't know as much as you do, but how many young mothers have ever looked at that baby after all that's done and they're still fussing and you just get so frustrated, you feel like just saying, would you just sit still? Would you just quit that? You know, just, ah! Anybody ever felt like that? Well, I believe God Almighty, in a sense, looks at us sometimes that way. When we're fussing, we're kicking, we're just not, you know, going along with what needs to be done. And He's just like, would you quit fussing? Or Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Quiet yourself. Relax. I've got this. When Moses was at the burning bush, okay, he turned aside to see this great sight. Notice he wasn't too busy to turn aside. And that's a beautiful lesson. How many of you have ever been so busy you missed God? And you look back on it and you say, I should have done that in the first place. Or guys, you should have listened to the spouse, right? You should have listened to the wife in the first place. Many times we have to swallow our pride. See, God will speak through our spouses, but we don't like to listen sometimes because we're too proud and all these different things, okay? There's another story about the fellas that went to the art museum. I don't know if any of you are art lovers, but they went there and they had a great time. But the problem was that fellow was sort of like me. If you go to a museum with me, you probably, unless you really like museums, we may not be the same. I mean, some people, here's their idea of a museum. They just go rushing through and look at the pictures and they're done. Whereas me, I paid the money. I'm going to read the articles. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to just relax. And at this art museum, this whole group of people was doing that. They were just blowing through the museum real quick. And he's trying to read everything. And finally, they get to the section with all the Van Gogh paintings. And the people were just going, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Hey, look, there's a cafeteria up there. And he finally couldn't take it anymore. And he said, stop. And he kind of used a play on words on what we're preaching about here today. He said, be still and know Van Gogh. And I thought, what a beautiful thing. Be still and know Van Gogh. They weren't taking their time to look at these paintings or study them or read about them or any of that. They were just rushing through. How many of us have done the same thing when we're not really being still and knowing God? We're just flashing by, you know, or maybe rushing through the church service or rushing through the prayers and all this. Listen, church, God wants you. He wants all of you. All He ever wants is you. There's another story. I hate to tell you so many stories, but this church was all given donations and everything and offerings. And the little girl, 12 years old, says, I don't have anything to give you. I'm ashamed. Everybody's got something to give you. And she said, but all I have to give you is my heart. And God said to that little child, that's all I ever wanted from you or anybody is their heart. And I want to tell you, church, if you'll receive that, if you get nothing more from this today, take that with you. God loves you. You know, and it hurts His heart when He sees His children who are anxious. You know, when you're anxious, it's almost like saying, well, God, I know You created the world. I know You created man and all these wonderful things, but really, I don't think You can handle my situation. How presumptuous of us to say these things. God can do anything. Amen? Amen. He created you. He created the world. And He can handle your situation today. If you believe that, let me hear your horns today. Amen. God loves you. He can provide for you. But He often waits for us to have faith to trust Him and to believe Him for all these different things. So Moses had a still spirit when he saw that burning bush and he turned aside. How many times do we need to turn aside in our lives to God? I ask you, church, turn aside from what you're doing and seek God with all your heart. Jesus said it this way. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half thy heart, right? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's what God's looking for, is your heart. Give it to Him today. Trust Him fully. I don't care what's coming your way. COVID-19 does not put the fear of God in me. I hope it doesn't you either. What we're doing here, I believe, is wise. I really do. You know, God gave us a brain. I think we need to use it. We need to have some wisdom. But I don't fear anything like that. My trust is in God. If you agree today, let me hear them horns. Amen. Amen. Thank God for who He is, and we know that, and that's why we can go through this world without it. In Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, it says, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So there's a time to speak, now listen, and there's a time to keep silent. And that's part of the problem. You know, prayer, when people think about prayer, they think, I seen a guy one time, he says, I'm going to start praying. And he went and he knelt down, and I never heard him speak. I'm like, I thought he was going to pray. How many of you know that listening is praying? Amen. Did you hear me? Listening is praying. You're going, well, how's listening praying? I thought praying was talking. No, talking is part of communication. How many has ever been around somebody that all they want to do is talk? They don't want to hear what you got to say. Amen? Now, no elbowing anybody in the car now. Listen, everybody wants to talk. Everybody likes to talk pretty much. And the problem is that if you don't listen, it's only a one-way street. The Bible says, don't be like the heathen who think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Church, sometimes we got to just still our spirits. Yeah, go to God with your concerns, absolutely. But we need to still, just like Elijah. And we hear that still small voice where God will speak to us. How many's ever heard God speak to you with that still small voice? I'll say it another way. It could be, some people say, well, I felt like my conscience. You know, God will use your conscience to speak to you. The Bible says that the God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's spirit to spirit. God wants to talk to you. but he can't sometimes because we're running around here like a chicken with our heads cut off. God help us to see these truths today. So stillness is essential to receiving instruction. Moses, he was at the Red Sea. And some people say he did a pretty bad tactical move. He took the children of Israel when they left bondage and he got stuck against the Red Sea. And when Pharaoh changed his mind and started coming down upon them, they had him trapped there. It looked awful. You know, they're going to say, we're going to die here. What are we doing here? They're coming. We got the Red Sea here. And listen to what Moses said, and it's so applicable. He said, and if you get, and this is the second thing, if you get nothing else, take this with you. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So when we've got COVID and we've got all these riots and we've got the economy that's struggling and we got all these uncertainties, my word to you by the authority of the Word of God is this, church. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Glory to God. That's what he's after. That ultimate trust where all you do is you say, I don't care what's happening. I don't care what my circumstances are. I trust you with all of my heart and I believe it. God can use people like that. He's just looking for some willing vessels that'll still themselves and receive the Spirit of God. So the people, Moses had to be still to hear from God, and then the people had to be still in order to hear from him. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, church. It really is. Samuel, the prophet, said this to Saul, stand still a while that I may show you the Word of God. You see how this is working? You have to be still in order to receive instruction. And believe me, our spirits are so busy. It's hecticness. In fact, we're feeding ourselves junk food in our spirit. The wife and I the other night was watching a movie, and I looked at her. I thought she'd catch me first, and I said, should we continue watching this movie? And she said, no, probably shouldn't. And I'm like, you're right. And we had to stop it 10 minutes in. I hate doing that. It might have been 20 because I've invested 20 minutes. I'm hoping it'll get better, but they usually don't. So our spirit, we were feeding on garbage is what I'm telling you. And church, we shouldn't ought to be doing that. We need to be seeking beautiful things. You know, just like Philippians says, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and all these different things, that's what we should be feeding on. Do y'all agree with that today? Amen. So here's what Jesus told to Peter about that. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. All of us want to do what I just said. All of us know we're supposed to do what I just said. Am I right? We know it, but let me tell you something. The flesh can be weak. So here's the thing. Make sure your spirit is stronger than your flesh. The spirit man inside you should be the one running the show. When you got up here this morning to come to this church, be honest, how many's flesh said, man, I'd like to sleep in today and just chill out? It's kind of going to rain maybe, and you know, it's early and all these different things. Sure we have, but here's what's supposed to happen. Your spirit man or woman is supposed to grab the flesh by the scruff of the neck and say, get up, we're going to that church, and let's go. Amen. Because the spirit's in charge, not the flesh. When you're a sinner, it's the other way around. When you're a heathen, like we all, most of us were, right? The flesh was in charge of everything. It said, look at that, let's go do that. Man, that looks fun. Or how about, look at that. And we just, the spirit would go right along with it. No, when you're saved, the spirit man is to rise up and say, no, you're not in charge anymore. In the name of Jesus, we're going this way. We're going to do that. And after time, the flesh gets real small. So if you see somebody, in fact, Paul called them carnal Christians. They were people who professed to be Christians, but they were living a fleshly, worldly, sinful lifestyle. Listen, church, that's being hypocritical. I hate to tell you, it's the truth. So if you're hearing this today, let God speak to you about switching that priority order around. Amen? Amen. All right, so David said this. He said, I have quieted myself. And myself in the Hebrew means soul. He's quieted his soul. Now, I want to say this. Now, listen, church. We are the ones, when our opening scripture, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We do the be stilling. Here, David says, I have quieted myself. We do the quieting. God is not going to grab you from the heavens and make you do any of this stuff. But he wants you to voluntarily do it. And that's when it becomes real. You know, all the things, brother, pastor, that I have changed in my life wasn't because my pastor or a preacher or an evangelist told me I have to change. It wasn't because of any of that. You know what it was? Is when I got still, when I received God powerfully, the Holy Spirit in His Word, and I saw the holiness of God. You know, there's a story about John, this fellow, he says, man, when I get up to heaven, I can't wait to see Jesus. I'm going to smack him on the back and say, hey, old buddy, old pal, I made it. Well, John, the Revelator, when he saw his buddy Jesus, he fell down as a dead man. He saw the holiness. He saw how the Lord was risen in righteousness and glory. And all I'm saying to you is get a vision of God that way. Yes, He is our friend. And, you know, but I cringe now that I've been saved so long and have learned some things when I hear people say, I wonder what the old man in the sky thinks about that. I hate that because He's our God. He's our Lord. And we need to reverence that. Yeah, I mean, I believe Jesus had a good time and enjoyed life, and they cut up even as disciples. But at the end of the day, we've got to remember the holiness and righteousness. So I said all that to tell you the only reason I changed my life and I changed doing those things was because I saw and encountered the holiness of God and the righteousness. And it caused me to say, I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to displease God. I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So the closer you get to God, the closer you get to God, church, the more all that stuff drops off. The more you don't have that desires. The things of the world look different. You don't desire those things. You want to be close to God. You want to learn more about Him. And somebody telling you to do it won't do it. It's when you have a still spirit to receive from God. Turn with me to Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 38. Luke 10 and 38. It says, this is Mary and Martha. Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her. So what I envision is Mary being so attentive at the feet of Jesus. I mean, she was drawn to Jesus. Nothing else mattered. She was just drinking in every word. And then I envision Martha being busy, cumbered, rushed, worried. And by the way, I looked up that word cumbered from the King James, and it means overoccupied about something, drawn away by it, distracted by it. You see, care and duty is good. It really is. But when you get into being cumbered, it is actually a sin, and you'll see that. And we need to be careful. Again, the Bible says there's time for everything. This was a time to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the Savior was here, and this is a time to be enjoying it. Now, don't get me wrong. If everybody just did that and nobody did any cooking, there would be some hungry people. I get that. But at this moment, this was a time to drink in from the Savior. You know, the great D.L. Moody, he said, of all the times I've ever just encountered God in His power, it wasn't in the great cathedrals, it wasn't in the mighty palaces, it was in my prayer closet alone in a still small spirit when God revealed Himself mightily. I don't know if you got a prayer closet, brother. I'm sure you do. Or a study place that you get away. I've got my nook in the house that's my special place. And I'm telling you, there's been times when it's just been me and God in the corner room, and it's been the most powerful thing. God revealed things to me. In fact, I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging here, but I had to do a funeral recently, and the fella in charge had been doing it 60 years, okay? And he's heard preachers on top of preachers for 60 years giving sermons. And I shared what God gave me in that prayer closet. And I didn't know anything other than God gave me this. And when I shared it, at the end of the service, he shook my hand and said, that was really good, young man. And he said, in fact, I have never heard that. I won't even tell you what it is. He said, I never heard that before. And I thought, thank you, Lord. You gave me a special word that apparently no one else at least brought out. Maybe they had got it and just never preached on it. But 60 years, he had never heard that. So what I'm trying to tell you is, get in your prayer closet, still your spirit, and God will speak to you individually. When you're reading the word, the pages will jump right off at you. So there was a time for everything. And by the way, the churches can get bogged down just like Martha here. They can get bogged down even in ministry. Did you know that not all ministry is necessarily productive? Especially if it's something you dreamed up and it's not God. You're just running ahead of God trying to do something. We all want to think, what can we do, you know, and we brainstorm. That's good. That's wonderful. But let's make sure God is in it. We really have to make sure we don't get ahead of Him. So, Martha, he says, Martha, two times. Why do you think he said twice? Well, it's almost like he had to say, Martha, put that down. Martha, you know, get her attention. She was just so concerned about the serving part. All right. So we need to make sure we understand this. Jesus reproved Martha and justified Mary's actions. And, you know, it's like this. He said she was careful and troubled, listen, about many things. See, her character was almost like those type A's we were talking about. Her type of character was that's how she was in life. Not just today with Jesus, but everything. She was that way. And so, church, make sure we're not that way. Make sure we're taking time for God. We don't need to be anxious, worried. That's what I was doing. I began to hear too much of the news and not enough of the Bible, and I became to be anxious and worried about what's going on. And you see, that was wrong because I was taking God out of the equation. How many of you know that, church? I took God out of the equation. And He should have been number one. So, how many of you know Jesus said, as many as He loves, He rebukes? How many's ever been to the woodshed? Yeah. And I'm talking not from Daddy, but the Father God. I love those woodshed moments because I need it. I do. Sometimes, like I said, He's got to clobber me upside the head with a 2x4. That's just how I am sometimes. God help me. So Martha was cumbered with needless things compared to what was needful. And what was needful was Jesus Christ and His Word. Now, Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and let's rest. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure time to even eat. So yes, Jesus Christ Himself wasn't, as much as He was the minister we all love to read about and the Son of God, He took breaks. Now, if you're a preacher, if you're a minister, you need to hear this today. Ministers take heed because even Jesus Christ took breaks to recharge their spirit. So if you find your life too hectic, if you find it getting too crazy, recharge yourself. Maybe reprioritize. Get back to the things of God. So Mary's choice was justified. And how many of you know our choice will be too? Everybody needs to hear that today. If we sit at Jesus' feet now, we will sit at Jesus' feet later in heaven. But if we sit at the feet of the world altar, we will not share and be with the Lord. How many of you know the Scripture says that if you're a friend of this world, you are an enemy with God? That's what it says. I'm just the messenger, church. We can't be too chummy with this world. I love to play and do things in this world, believe me, but that's not my priority. We're just pilgrims passing through this old world, church, and I hope we all get that in our spirits, because if we don't, we're missing the boat here. So here's how the story could have ended. Both Martha and Mary could have sat at Jesus' feet. When He was done, they could have got up together and said, now let's prepare a meal. Could have went that way. But as we know, this, how many of you know every story that's in the Bible is in there for a reason? Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody's saying, yeah, that's me. I can relate to that. Or, I need to watch what I'm doing here. That choice that she made, that choice, that'll be with her forever. Our choice will also be justified if we will be just like Mary was. So ministers, leaders, elders, watch running ahead of God. Take time to recharge your batteries. Hopefully you give your pastor a vacation once in a while. I mean, Jesus did that. He went aside from ministry and took time to be with the disciples in a desert place to recharge their batteries. All of us need to do that. And help us to see it, because we're getting too caught up in the things of the world. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And by the way, I'll just speak to all the leaders of the homes here, all the husbands who are supposed to be the leaders of the home. You know, the Bible says that God created man to be the head of the home, to be the leader of the home. And wives are to submit to that. And what that means is they are to appreciate the authority and the structure that God put in place. Husbands, step up to the plate and start leading and start doing these things, because you set the tone for the family. Now, I'm not going to get into all the family issues, but it's the truth. We have to all recognize our place and just submit to God's authority, and all, let's just seek God with all our hearts. Amen? All right, let me end with this. How could Jesus sleep on that boat that I told you about? He's God and He has all power, right? That's how. So as I said earlier, we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ, Pastor. So if Jesus thought that way and Jesus acted that way and we're to have the mind of Christ, that's how we should be. Church, I want you to leave this service today. I don't care what's in your life. I don't care how bad it is. I want you to have the mind of Christ. And you relax and you say, I've given it to God. In fact, I think it's 1 Peter 5:7. It says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Church, if you do that, it's no longer your problem. Can I hear the horns on that maybe? Did you hear me? If you do that, if you cast those cares, those worries, those anxieties, you still your spirit and cast them on Him, think about it. He said, do it. I just did it. So therefore, He's got it. It ain't mine no more. I'm walking away saying, ain't my problem. It's God's. Because He said He'll take it. Cast them on Him. He's got this. Now you got to trust and you got to believe and you got to live, you know, and act in faith. And how many of you have learned that God doesn't answer prayers immediately all the time? In fact, did you know the children of Israel, when they were in bondage, were praying to God mightily? You know how long they prayed before their prayer got answered? 400 years. So the next time you pray and a week's gone by and you're not sure God heard or He's not going to answer, I want you to remember that. God will answer. And how many of you also know that some of the answers are no? It's an answer. Or, you know, there's lots of things like this that we just need to understand about God. So, are you getting this today, church? You got to quiet yourself. We're too busy. We're too worried. And by the way, in the Scripture, it says, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, let me ask you, if God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, who has? The enemy. That's right. The enemy of our soul. It's not God. When fear creeps in, that's not from God. He didn't give us that spirit. And I know you've heard this over and over and over. It's true. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So church, go from here today knowing that I don't have to fear. And by the way, I'm a planner. I don't know if you are, but you know, I'm the guy that if we're going to go camping, I'll have everything we need. And people make fun of that, but they're the ones that don't bring nothing. And they say, hey, you mind if I borrow that and do this? See, I'm a planner. But sometimes when I see this world and everything going on and I don't have control of it and I can't plan it and make it right, I get anxious. I don't like to be in that situation where I don't understand what's going on or what's the end going to be like. I'm just that way. And see, that's my issue. And that's why I have to do what I'm telling you to do. Be still, Brother Danny. Be still. Don't worry about that. God hasn't given you that spirit of fear, Brother Danny. Satan has. The enemy has. So this is for you too, I hope, because he put it on my heart strong to share this with you, okay? And just a few more things, and I'll wrap it up here. I really will. Be still and know it's no longer your care or concern, but God's. That's the third thing. If you get nothing else out of this message today, cast your care on Him and know that it is His problem and He will handle it. Did He not promise us that if we'll ask, we will receive? He did. Amen. All right, so here it is. Knowing all of that I've said to you today and trusting God fully, that will allow you to be still in full faith and trust in God. And that's what it takes. And remember, without faith, you can't please God. How many of you want to please the Lord? All right, without faith, you cannot please God. And faith requires you to trust God. How many of you know that faith doesn't mean I see every step? Faith oftentimes is this. I see one step that direction. I don't see anything else. But I'm trusting that God knows exactly what His plan is for me. So then I take my second step. And that's faith. Faith doesn't mean I see the beginning to the end. Faith knows that God's got this. I've given it to Him. I've stilled my spirit. And now I'm going to walk in faith. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You for this message. We thank You for who You are. We thank You for the Word of God. You said that Your words are spirit and they are life. And we thank You for that. And I pray right now as this congregation is assembled here in their cars that they would receive this. I pray that it would fall upon good ground and that we would then do what the Word of God says. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And God, everybody here, with everything that's going on, we thank You that You're in charge ultimately, that we can trust You with all of our hearts, and we gather together in a spirit of unity. And I pray that You would help us to just encourage one another, lift one another up, get behind our pastor and his wife, support them in a greater way, and just as a group, say no matter what happens to us in this country, in this state, even in this valley, no matter what it is, I will trust the Lord at all times. I will claim victory. I will have joy because You are always there. The sun is always shining, and we just thank You for that. So be with everybody. Help us as we go into this world. And like I said, the spirit of fear, we know it's not from You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.